kind of worrying how, oh, I know, well, these players have cabinets I went through.
Yeah.
What is the most money you would pay for a pie?
£3.50. The 21s should definitely not be cast.
Hello and welcome back to this eighth episode now of EFL at URN. I'm one of your co-hosts, Harry Waring, and I'm joined by my other delightful co-host, Luke Green. How are you today, Luke?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good, actually. Thank you. Today's a very special episode. First time we're recording in person, if you believe it. So hopefully the quality is a bit better for you as we are now in the very nice podcast suite. Well, we won't mess around. We'll keep going the way we have done in the past episodes. We'll start in League Two. So the first game we're going to look at today is actually going to be Bradford versus Stevenage. This game went the way of Bradford 3-0. Goals come from Cook, well, two from Cook, one from Wright. Also important to note, a red card for them in for Halliday in the 89th minute. Bradford sat fifth in the table now and Stevenage fourth. So it's sort of a top end battle in League Two. Do you want to run us through this game, Luke?
Yeah, well, it was 3-0 Bradford with goals from Cook. Well, two goals from Cook, one in the 6th minute, one in the 56th minute, and then Wright in the 62nd minute. Basically, pretty equal possession wise. Stevenage looked like they had more shots too, but obviously Bradford created more chances and took the big chances that they had in the match.
Yes, I would agree. It's a bit of a sort of not as good a display, I would say, for Stevenage as we've seen in the past. Steve Evans obviously doing a magnificent job there. Were you surprised that they sort of managed to pin, Bradford sort of managed to pin Stevenage back and we weren't able to see them score a goal in this game?
I was surprised the other way, really, that Bradford scored three goals against Stevenage, because I think the most amount of goals that Stevenage have conceded this season before this match was one, and now they've conceded three. So it's not really on the cards for Stevenage to concede that many goals, really, because they look like they've got one of the best defences in League Two.
Yes, I would agree with that, actually. So Cook is actually Bradford City's top goal scorer. Currently sat with 8th out of 9 games. He's got 1 assist. It's sitting second in top goal scoring league table, just behind Sam Hoskins, obviously, of Northampton Town. Do you think he could be a real crucial player for them? Because, you know, getting 8 goals already in 9, that's nearly 1 a game. That's sort of, you know, what you sort of want in a team. You need that sort of bit of magic from one player.
Yeah, I think he's scored 8 goals in his last 7 matches too, I think. So he's hitting a bit of form at the moment, and he looks to be a really good player for them, because he's had a good career so far, and this is, you would have thought, his peak of his career, being 31. So he's obviously travelled around the country a bit over the last 10-15 years, and he's got a really good goal scoring record, especially League Two, non-league as well. But it's just been a really good signing for Bradford, because, I mean, he obviously signed last season, well, the season before, on loan, hit 8 goals in 21 matches, and then he signed permanently, and then he's now scored 23 in 53, so nearly 1 every 2 games, which is pretty good, and a really good find from Bradford for a couple of seasons ago. And I think Mark Hughes has picked a player here that looks really good.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. One final question I'm just going to throw your way. It's the way Bradford line up. You know, it's a 4-2-3-1 according to my notes.
Yeah.
Do you think that's now seen as, you know, we haven't really spoken a lot about teams' formations in the past. Do you think now we're starting to see more of a 5-2-3-1, or would you say that, more basically what my question is, I'm trying to say, is do you think four at the back in this league is now starting to become a bit of an anomaly, whilst in the past it's been so strong?
I think four at the back in League One and Two, and even the Championship to some extent, is dying. I think most managers prefer five at the back, because there's two ways you can really play five at the back. Well, it's either three at the back if you're a good team, or a five at the back if you're a more defensive team. So I think five at the back is like you can change more in a five at the back. It's easier to change and make a bit of an impact with your substitutes and stuff like that, and tactical switches and stuff. I think, yeah, oh, I don't know. I think it's this League One and Two are now evolving, really, because obviously the wing backs will perform as like attacking players too, like wingers. So yeah, I think we are moving to more of a five at the back for the foreseeable
future. Yes, right. We'll leave that game there. Moving on, we're going to go towards Northampton now, a team that's got Sam Hoskins, you know, player of the month, topping the goal scoring charts, picking up two in this game as they defeated Rochdale 3-0. The score was 1-0 at half time. Northampton are now sat third in the table. They've sort of pushed their way up. They've overtaken Stevenage, obviously, with Stevenage, as we just mentioned, losing. And then, sort of on the opposite end, Rochdale, who recently appointed their new manager, as we mentioned last week in our podcast. But yet, Rochdale still looking for that first win. They sat stone last in 24th place with 2 points. And it's important to mention a minus 11 goal difference already after playing 9 games. I think we'll start with Rochdale just quickly. So, you know, bringing a new manager in, sometimes you get to see that new manager bounce, if you would. So the team might start to improve as they want to impress the manager. But for me, I don't feel like we've seen that. Is it? Would you be worried now if you're a Rochdale fan?
I think it's kind of showing how bad their squad is for this level, because obviously you'd expect a new manager bounce. Like, we've seen it with our clubs and in many clubs in previous seasons, but it just doesn't seem to be working at Rochdale. They need a massive January, and it's bad that we're saying that they need January to come now, because they definitely need some new players in, because these players are probably not up to scratch to the League Two, because they shouldn't be conceding how many goals that they have done this quickly into season. The minus 11 goal difference is the signs are not positive at all for Rochdale. And if you want to touch on the worst player on the pitch last match, which was Diangara. Diangara. He plays 79 minutes, 0 goals, 0 assists, 58% passing accuracy, 0 chances created, 1 penalty conceded, so obviously at fault for a goal, and also 32 touches, which is, again, awful if you're playing centre mid and you're only having 32 touches. And I think he lost all of his duels as well, which is great. So yeah, he had a bit of a stinker, and he probably, well, I don't think he single-handedly lost Rochdale that match, because the match was probably heading away from them. But yeah, not very good from him.
No, definitely not. Yeah, so also just looking at this Rochdale team as well, if you're looking at their players, so maybe Joe Quigley, you could, to a certain degree, stands out. But I'm looking at the names. I'm seeing somebody called Rodney. I understand Rodney used to play for Salford and he's been at Port Vale a bit, but there's no real, you know, sort of star and magic. And from a team that's just been relegated from League One, you're sort of wondering now, yeah, as you said, they need a good January to help boost them up and get them up. But on the reverse hand, Northampton Town, goals from Hoskins that I've already said, and Guthrie, 3-0, you know, pretty easy, if you would, if you allow me to say that. But only having 53% possession, sat third in the table now. Do you think we're now seeing a Northampton that's playing the way they want to play, and that they're, you know, expressing what they want to do and moving up the table as they should be?
Yeah, I think they were obviously hard done to last season. Yeah, I'm probably not going to comment any more on that Bristol Rovers game, when they definitely should have, should have at least got something out of, like, I don't even know what it's called. A review. There should have been a review of that Bristol Rovers game, seeing as I think Oldham was fielding, like, 9 academy
I know, it was Scunthorpe.
Scunthorpe
got relegated.
Were fielding 9 or so academy players because it couldn't pay the players, so I mean, that wasn't great. But yeah, I think this year might be their year, because they look really strong, especially with Sam Hoskins. up top. Well, not up top, on the left wing, but spearheading their attack. I think if he keeps it up, they'll do things this season.
Right. I think we'll leave that game there because, you know, Northampton winning 3-0, obviously, and we've mentioned a bit about Rochdale there. We're going to move now to Mansfield Town. They played Gillingham this weekend away, and it went a two-goal victory for Mansfield over Gillingham. Goals from Lucas Aikins and Lapsil. Also important to note, Lucas Aikins missed a penalty in the 29th minute. Mansfield are now find themselves sat seventh, back in the playoffs. You know, they had that rocky start, which we've mentioned before, and we were a bit concerned that maybe, you know, last year losing the playoff final, you know, they might not find their feet, but it seems to me that they're slowly getting there. And then finally, Gillingham, if we're looking at them, it's not been the greatest start. Obviously getting relegated last year, now 22nd with 6 points from 9 games. We'll start with the doom and gloom. Gillingham, 22nd. It's obviously not as bad as Rochdale because they've won a game. But would you say Gillingham, another team that really needs to, you know, need a quick change to just keep them afloat and out of danger from the relegation zone?
Yeah, is this a match that you got -3 points on?
This is a match I got -3 points on. I did say, why not? You know, 3-1 Gillingham. Yeah. And did that happen? No. So I will take the -3.
Yeah, they've only scored 2 goals in the league so far this year, which does suggest that they are embarrassingly bad going forwards and they do not have the players, well, to hit the target. I mean, I've been hearing a lot of negative things about Gillingham, and you wouldn't have thought they'd be in a relegation battle at this point, seeing as they've only just come back down from League One. And they did, and they were quite close to staying up last season in League One. So it's been a real fall from grace, because I mean, they were one of the longest-serving teams in League One. I think they were 8, 9, 10 seasons in League One. So I think that they obviously aren't used to League Two football, and it's showing at the moment.
Yeah, but if we look at the difference between Gillingham and Rochdale, I would say, as we just said, Rochdale, they haven't really got, you know, any standout players. This Gillingham team does have some good players in it. So, for example, Stuart O'Keefe, former of Crystal Palace. You've got Ben Reeves, you know, he's been around in League One a lot. Charlton, most notably at MK Dons, obviously. Mm. You've got Mandarin up top, he used to be Crew. So, they've got potential to perform in this league. So, maybe just give them a little bit more time. But then again, 9 games in, it's starting to get a bit shaky. But if we look at Mansfield Town, this is a team that we obviously follow closely here at URN. You know, losing to Port Vale in the playoff finals last year really seems to hurt this team. But, you know, we're starting to see them, you know, move up the table. They've Lucas Aikins, signing him last year, he seems to be, you know, an absolute beast of a signing for them. Obviously picking up a goal in this game. Missing the penalty, though, which isn't ideal. But if we just look at their past few games, they beat Gillingham 2-0, they drew with Carlisle, and they beat Doncaster in their last 3 games. So picking up some good points and moving themselves well into the playoffs now. Do you think they'll be able to, you know, maintain this sort of momentum that they've managed to build up over the last few games?
Yeah, I think the playoff hangover is now well and truly gone. I think, obviously, we were a bit concerned about them at the start of the season because I don't think they did really that well in the first 5 games, but since you'd say probably that Leighton Orient game early in the season, like mid-August, they've done really well. And yeah, I think they deserve to be in the playoffs. And I think hopefully by the end of the season, they will be pushing automatics, because I think that's what this team deserves.
Yes, it does. And I think we'll wrap up League Two there. But before we move on to Luke Silkins through these results, I'm just going to throw in a quick fire question.
A quick fire, right.
Where has your best away days ever been?
Best away day ever?
Yeah.
I didn't really go to many until start of last season, really. So probably best away day is Burton.
Burton.
I went with Pav, who some listeners might know from doing the Chat Like Champions URN podcast, which obviously we've taken over and are doing a lot better than. I went with him. He was basically my bodyguard, really, as you can imagine. And yeah, we won 2-0. Yeah, who was really good because it's Terrace too.
Terrace stood up.
Yeah, we got there 2 hours early, to be fair. First ones in the ground, and we waited over two hours for the game to start, which wasn't ideal.
Eager.
Yeah, we thought there'd be a pub nearby the stadium. There wasn't. We had lunch, but there was like McDonald's and Greggs next to the stadium. But that was a bit disappointing. I haven't really, because all the other away matches I've been to, we haven't won, which is not ideal. I've obviously been to Liverpool twice. That wasn't great. Well, it was for 7 minutes for one of them. And then Port Vale lost in the last minute, so yeah, not great. Crew drew, and they were like the worst team I've ever seen. So yeah, carry on the theme that is absolutely great. And this is meant to be a quick fire question, wasn't it?
Yeah, you've really gone for it there.
Yeah.
But okay, we'll say Port Vale.
No.
Burton.
Well done.
There we go. That's my bad. My hands are gone up. We'll say Burton. Right. Do you want to run us through the rest of the results in League Two?
Yeah. Right. So last weekend, obviously, Saturday the 17th of September, it started with Bradford 3, Stevenage 0, Carlisle 2, Wimbledon 1, Colchester 0, Grimsby 1, Crewe 1, Crawley 0, Doncaster 0, Swindon 1, Gillingham 0, Mansfield 2, Leighton Orient 1, Walsall 0, Newport 0, Barrow 2, Northampton 3, Rochdale 0, Salford 0, Tranmere 1, Stockport County 0, Harrogate Town 0, and Sutton United 2, Hartlepool United 0.
Lovely stuff. Right, we're going to do...
Hartley's gone from Hartlepool. Did we cover
that? Yeah. No, we haven't covered that. And Colchester sacking as well.
And Colchester, yeah.
Two massive changes, but I think they're both slightly justified. I think Hartlepool one's definitely justified, obviously, because they're sat 23rd. But yeah, you know, there's been quite a few sackings this week in all three divisions. Have you got any real analysis for us, you know, for these sackings?
Well, obviously, both of these clubs are in the relegation battle at the moment, so not really too surprised. I mean, it is obviously early in the season, but the, like, Hartley at Hartlepool has not gone well at all, has it?
No,
because they are 22nd.
Yes. Right, well, we'll leave it there. We are going to try and do us a little cheeky quick fire predictions. I think we'll get a good League Two out. It was my go last week. Obviously, didn't go very well. You're going to have to head over to Seniors Come to check out how well I did. But, you know, I'm still training Luke. But I think I've got a little chance to catch up here. Seeing as it is international weekend, there are a lot of games postponed. Obviously, no games in the Championship. And four games in League One will not be played. However, you will get a full swing at League Two with every game being played. So,
yeah, nice.
I think the real question is, how well do you think you're going to do this week?
Oh, I think I'll do all right. I think what we should do is next international break, you do yours.
Yes, yeah, no, I'm sure it'll all even out in the future. If not, I can slightly rig it.
Yeah, I think it'd favour me.
Right, so if we do the League Two scores, are you ready to rumble?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Positive?
I'm very positive.
Right. It's not a joke, yeah?
No.
Okay. First game of the weekend is between Northampton Town and Stockport County.
2-0 Northampton.
Barrow versus Leighton Orient.
1-1.
Bradford versus AFC Wimbledon.
2-1 Bradford.
Colchester versus Rochdale.
0-0.
Crewe versus Mansfield.
3-1 Mansfield.
Doncaster versus Crawley.
1-0 Doncaster.
Grimsby versus Swindon.
2-1 Grimsby.
Hartlepool versus Gillingham.
0-0.
Newport versus Carlisle.
2-0 Carlisle.
Stevenage versus Harrogate.
2-1 Stevenage.
Sutton United versus Salford.
2-2.
And then finally, Walsall versus Tranmere.
2-0 Tranmere.
Okay. That's very... I can see that's very realistic. You didn't throw a curveball out.
No.
You didn't want to risk...
I don't want to get the minus 3 points.
Fair enough. I obviously did last week, and that's not ideal. But anyway, we'll leave League Two now and head to what we call the best league in the country.
World.
Well, I would say the world. Yeah, you say the world. And go to League One. After nine games, we're seeing Ipswich and Portsmouth topping the table, both on 21 points. What a start they both had, both picking up 6 wins, three draws, and neither have lost. And then at the bottom of the table, obviously, we're seeing Burton sat on 4 points. But they did win. So
they did, and you predicted that.
I did. I picked up a lovely... Well, I didn't get 3 points, because I only said 1-0.
Oh.
But I picked up a lovely point, I would say. But I think the first game, then, we will talk about, and I know you're very excited about talking about these, is Lincoln City versus Bristol Rovers. This went the way of Lincoln City in a fantastic 9-goal thriller. Lincoln City winning 6-3. Goals coming from House. Diamond obviously getting his hat-trick, one being a penalty, and Virtue. And then Bristol Rovers goals coming from Collins, who's had an amazing start to this season, and Loft. Lincoln has sat 8th in the table now, really helped him climb up there, whilst Bristol Rovers have slipped into the relegation zone on 8 points, which I'm going to give you the choice here. I'm not going to ask you the question. I'm just going to let you, you know, freely rant about Bristol Rovers or praise Lincoln.
I'll probably rant about Bristol Rovers. I think that's probably what you expected after numerous comments from Jerry Barton. His comments are going quite well. He basically called Lincoln a hoofball team, and then they smashed 6-3. They said that 4-4-2 for Portsmouth would not go well. They're currently second. And they also said that Steve Cottrell, Shrewsbury Town, don't play football. We're obviously 12, so mid-table, compared to Jerry Barton's Bristol Rovers side, who are in the relegation zone at the moment, and have just been battered 6-3. I know they'll obviously say, well, he will argue that, oh, he doesn't have any centre-backs at the moment, but realistically, you shouldn't be conceding 6 goals against Lincoln, because, I mean, Lincoln are a decent team, but they don't score a huge amount of goals. They're not like Ipswich. If this was Ipswich or Portsmouth, it'd be a bit less bad, because obviously Ipswich and Portsmouth are beating teams for fun at the moment, but because it's Lincoln, it was very surprising. But yeah, I was just really like how it's going for Bristol Rovers, because their fans are not great. I mean, they are the second biggest club in Bristol now, and I think that probably confirms it. What do you think?
I guess I agree with you. It's not as deep rooted passion against them from me.
Just wait until MK Dons go against them, and then I'll just wait. Jerry Barton will say some crap about Milton Keynes and say that you're bad and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I mean, you are. But
we don't need to make it personal today. Thank you, Luke. As you said there, sorry, talking about Lincoln. Not a team that doesn't score a lot of goals. They've scored 14 this year, and 6 of them have come in this game. So that means they've scored 8 in their first 8 games. So it's a goal a game. So that's really helps bring their goal difference back up to just a solid 0. It's great for Lincoln. And as you've said, Bristol Rovers slipping down, and it's sort of Joey Barton sort of jinxing his future. Well, not future. His team's performances, if you would allow me to say that.
Yeah, obviously Bristol Rovers did start Glenn Whelan as centre-back, and he's like, how old now? Like 40. And obviously the other two players that they played at centre-back don't think usually play there. Yeah, they've played a right-back at centre-back and a left-back at centre-back. So obviously not the ideal squad that they have, but that is because they're obviously injuries, and they got 2 red cards in the game before. So self-inflicted, I think.
And then if we look at Lincoln, are we seeing a team now that, you know, 8th in the league, didn't do very well last year, and obviously a couple of seasons ago in the playoffs, are we seeing a bit more, you know, of what they could be, you know, how 2 years ago they did really well? Are we starting to see that this year? You know, because sat 8th in a division as tough as this, you know, they're above Peterborough. Are we seeing that? Because obviously they haven't got the star players of Morgan Rogers and Brennan Johnson as they had it back in the day, but, you know, I've got Oakley Booth on loan from Stoke, Lasse Sorensen as well, another player that's came through the Stoke Academy, Regan Poole of Man United, Ioma of Tottenham. Oh, that's kind of worrying how I know all these players of academies I went through. Yeah. Diamond as well of Sunderland. Do you think now we're starting to see, you know, there's a quite young squad. Are we seeing a team now that could maybe hold on to this top end of mid-table and just maybe force their way into the playoffs as a surprise team?
I think it's probably a bit too early to say who might be the surprise team, because I think the entire midsection of the league, from probably 7th to 15th, 16th, is like separated by 2-3 points. So I think they're all trying to fight, obviously, for that 6th place in the playoffs, which I think is up for grabs, because not many teams look like they've got a solid grasp on it. I think a Derby in it at the moment.
Derby, sorry, in the playoffs, or?
Oh, no, it's Barnsley.
Barnsley, yeah.
Barnsley 6th, Derby 7th. So I think, yeah, that 6th place is probably the only playoff position at this point that is realistic for, like, half the teams. I think you go down to 16th, and then all them teams above, maybe not Vale, have obviously realistic top half, in their view. But yeah, no, I think Lincoln have obviously had a really decent start.
Yes, completely agree. Right, I think we will leave that game there. That was sort of a mid-table clash. Let's move on now to a bottom of the table clash. We've already mentioned them, Burton Albion, obviously picking up their first 3 points of the season, and it being a 2-0 win over Exeter City. So, you know, Burton have been waiting time for this game. Goals coming from Oshilaja, Keller Dunn, again on the score sheet for Burton. And it was against a team who have, you know, Exeter, they've had a great start. You know, they're sort of obviously promoted from last season. They were up near the playoffs. They have slowly starting to drift back down the table now, though. But how important was this win for Burton, you know, getting over the Floyd Hasselbank era?
Oh, yeah, it's a massive win for Burton. Obviously, I don't hope they keep it up because we've got them next. But I think this is a very good win, especially for morale, because obviously they didn't win until this game. An Exeter team that are actually quite good. I know they've fallen down the table in recent weeks because obviously back-to-back losses, but I think Exeter will be mid-table at the end of the season. So this result is looking pretty good now, but I think it will probably stay pretty good. I don't think Exeter are going to be in any real trouble of relegation, even though they do have a few injuries and the squad looks a little bit light at the moment.
Yeah, but even though it's light, they've still got some great star players in there. You know, for example, Rakeem Harper. I know he's on loan from Ipswich, but he has got great talent. Obviously, Jay in midfield. And then players such as Sam Nombe or Josh Kay, their right back.
Yeah, they've got Stansfield too.
Yes.
Well, who was playing in the Premier League at the start of the season.
Yes.
And obviously really highly rated at Fulham. But he's obviously, I think he probably had a few Championship loan offers too. Well, he obviously chose Exeter because of his dad.
Yeah.
And his dad dying whilst at Exeter. And obviously, he's the only one allowed, really, to wear the number 9 shirt because he's obviously the son of
an Exeter legend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a nice touch. And it's good to see him, you know, obviously going back to Exeter. If we say one more point on Burton, sorry, I know we've talked about them a lot in past episodes. So, you know, if Burton fans are loving this, fair dues. But one final thing I would really say is this the turning point then? Because, you know, there's probably, is there a new system implemented? You know, went for 4-3-3 at the weekend. You know, it might have been that new manager bounce, for example.
Yeah.
So
it looks a bit more free-flowing. I think with under Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, I don't think you could really see links in play. But I think, in this game especially, you could see there was chemistry in the squad, and especially in that second half, it only really looked like Burton were going to win that match.
Definitely. So I think we'll just leave that game there then. Obviously, Burton, the main highlight, Burton getting their first win of the season. Another game we'll look at in League One then is a top-of-the-table clash. Obviously, all four teams in the top four, Ipswich, Portsmouth, Plymouth and Sheffield Wednesday, playing each other, but we'll go for Portsmouth-Plymouth. That was a 2-2 draw. Very exciting. Goals from Koroma. Excellent goal, I have to say, from Koroma for Portsmouth. Hackett, Fairchild as well, getting the goal in the 94th minute for Portsmouth. And then on the reverse side, Plymouth Argyle's goals, own goal for Raggett, and then goals from Ennis. And also important to note, a red card for Brendan Galloway as well. As you've just told me, Plymouth have Ipswich coming up. So, We all saw Plymouth last year as a team that, you know, they were sort of the standout team, especially when Ryan Lowe left. Everybody thought they would sort of tail off, but they're really showing them what they can do this year and holding themselves. Do you think they'll pick up a point against Ipswich?
I mean, I can see it because they are a really solid team, and obviously they had like a couple of hiccups earlier in the season, especially against Fleetwood. But no, they look like a really good team, and obviously improved from how they did last season too. Obviously, I think in this game there was a massive brawl, by the looks of it, at the end, resulting in 6 yellow cards. I think that's fair. 6 yellow cards, and obviously a red card as well. So, yeah, I think the goal came after the brawl.
It did, yes. 94th minute was the final goal for Portsmouth, and then the 92nd minute is when the brawl happened and Galloway getting sent off.
Yeah, I would have thought the brawl would happen after the goal, because obviously tempers
firing, yeah.
Yeah, but no, I think, yeah, obviously Argyle did not have a good track record at Portman Road. So, yeah, I think they'd be pretty chuffed with a point down at Portsmouth.
Yeah, you know, Portsmouth is a tough place to go to. Haven't lost this season. They've got 21 points. And up front, they've got Colby Bishop and the young striker Dane Scarlett on loan from Tottenham. We've already mentioned in the past how they've got a midfield of Marlon Pack. We've seen other players now, such as Lowry and Dale, sort of really getting into their stride. So I think we've seen a very well set up Portsmouth team. And I'm sort of interested to see how long they can keep this up. Obviously, last season we saw Sunderland climb to the top of the table, do really well, but around Christmas sort of, you know, took their foot off the gas and found themselves outside the playoffs. Obviously, that didn't last for long and they're promoted to the Championship now, but it'd be interesting to see if these teams, you know, can go all the way and keep going, or if they will, as I've just said, take their foot off the gas. Who are Portsmouth's next games?
Portsmouth have got Ipswich.
I thought it was Plymouth.
Plymouth have got Ipswich. And Portsmouth have also got Ipswich, because I think Portsmouth's next game's cancelled. Postponed.
Plymouth have Ipswich.
Yeah.
25th.
Portsmouth's next game against Bolton is postponed because of international call-ups.
Oh, so both got Ipswich.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a really big test for both teams then, and we can see whether these, well, not whether these good starts continue, and it'd be interesting to see how Ipswich respond to this as well, because, you know, these if a team can pick up 3 points, that'd be a massive difference, taking 3 points off somebody and losing 3 points.
I think these two at the top, well, at least three probably at the top, Plymouth, Portsmouth and Ipswich, I think they'll be probably top three, maybe four, at the end of the season, because I think their quality is really showing at the moment.
Definitely. All right, and we'll do one final game in League One. Obviously, we like to do one extra game in League One because it is the best league in the world. And this is between Cambridge United and Barnsley winning 3-0. Goals from Cole, Cundy and Norwood. Good to see James Norwood on the score sheet. But again, we've seen another red card. And this was for Kitching in the 68th minute. It's glad to see it didn't really affect Barnsley as they picked up 2 goals after this red card. This sees Cambridge drop down the table, obviously having an amazing start in the playoffs. Me and Luke both talked about how much we are loving what we're seeing from these teams. But they are now 9th in the league with 13 points. And it does see Barnsley move into the playoffs after a slow start. After 9 games, they have 14 points. I think we'll start with Barnsley, start with a good team. Are they rolling now? That's what I would say. Are they rolling? Because James Norwood picking up a goal is going to do his confidence wonders after such a slow scoring season last year for Ipswich. So do you think this is they're another team that have started to get going?
Yeah, I think ever since the end of August, really, they've really got ahead of steam, really. I think they'll definitely be top 8 by the end of the season, I would have thought. But no, this game proves that their team might have been a bit more unified now, because they're facing a Cambridge team who started the season really well. This Cambridge team is actually immense, pretty immense, until the last couple of games. Basically like Exeter, they just faltered in the last couple of games. And you're going to see these early riders of the unsuspected teams. I think you might see them fall and others come back up. Like I said, I think there's obviously not much gap in quality between like 8th to 16th. I think that's obviously going to be the massive fighting point in this league.
Yeah, I completely agree. If you're looking at the table, I think the top, well, to be fair, the top 5 teams, obviously 17 points up to 21. But if you're looking at Barnsley, who are sat in 6th on 14 points, it's anybody's competition, really, from that point down to, I would, yeah, as you said, that point of 16th. So there's only 3 points in it. So it's just sort of showing how competitive this league is this year and how tight it could be. If this keeps up, we could be seeing at the end of the year a team sat, I don't know, 13th, 14th, with a really insightful chance getting into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think, obviously, we saw a few years ago, maybe 4 years ago, we saw a massive relegation battle. Remember that?
Yes.
There's like 12 teams separated by like 3 points. That was interesting. But I think this one might be even more interesting because obviously there's probably one playoff position, maybe 2 if Bolton slide off a bit, up for grabs between 12 teams. So, I'm really excited for what might happen.
Yes, definitely. Right, we will leave our analysis there. Luke, do you just want to run us through the other scores which happened?
So obviously this weekend was the 17th of September. Every game was playing on Saturday. Start with Accrington 1, Chelham 0, Bolton 1, Peterborough 0, Bristol Rovers 3, Lincoln 6, Cambridge 0, Barnsley 3, Derby 2, Wickham 1, Exeter 0, Burton 2, Fleetwood Town 1, Charlton 1, Forest Green 1, Morecambe 2, Oxford United 1, MK Dons 2, Port Vale 2, Shrewsbury 1, Portsmouth 2, Plymouth 2, Sheffield Wednesday 2, Ipswich 2.
Lovely stuff. And we'll motor on then into your quickfire scores.
Yep.
As I've already said, there are 4 games postponed in this, so we'll weave our way through them and not mention them. Are you ready?
I am.
Are you sure you're ready?
Yeah, we've just had a massive day of filming, so I'm pretty tired.
Pretty tired, yeah. Well, I can't wait for bed. Mm. Right, first game, Forest Green versus Exeter City.
2-0 Exeter.
Barnsley versus Charlton.
1-0 Barnsley.
Bristol Rovers versus Accrington.
3-0.
Morecambe versus Cambridge.
1-0 Cambridge.
Peterborough versus Port Vale.
2-0 Peterborough.
Sheffield Wednesday versus Wickham.
2-1 Sheffield Wednesday.
Shrewsbury Town versus Burton Albion.
1-0 Shrewsbury.
And the final game of your predictions, Plymouth Argyle versus Ipswich.
I'll give another 2-2.
Another 2-2?
Another 2-2.
I can see that happening. Yep. Again, very, level-headed. You've taken your time. You've stayed calm.
Yeah.
There's no, over-the-top scorelines.
Yeah, no scorelines plucked from thin air.
Right, another quickfire question.
Yeah.
What is the most money you would pay for a pie?
For a pie?
Yep.
Probably on its own, £3.50.
£3.50?
Yeah.
That's a pretty decent price, actually. I'll give you that.
Exactly. I wouldn't pay any more. Okay. Because, let's be honest, you can get a pie for, £2.
Yeah.
Outside of a stadium. So why would I pay double?
Good lad.
But if it comes with mushy peas, gravy and chips, it does in Notts County. Fiver, it has to be done.
It's a full meal.
Yes, please. Oh, we might see them
Tuesday, the 3rd of October. 4th of October.
Yeah. On away days, probably.
Yes, we can. We'll do a little advert for this because I feel that'll definitely happen.
Yeah.
Tuesday, 4th of October, Notts County versus Wrexham in National League.
Yeah, and I will be. I'll probably wear my Shrewsbury Town top too. Because obviously,
Wrexham.
We hate Wrexham.
Okay, we'll be sat in the home end with Notts County, so that'll be alright.
Yeah, probably gotta have a coat too on, so you can't really see it.
Yeah, right. Well, that's something for you to look out for on the Instagram. Obviously, we'll away days it, and we'll try and do a little reel behind the scenes of what it's like at home game for Notts County. Right, though, let's move on to the Championship. After 10 games played, Sheffield United top in this league with 23 points. And, obviously Coventry are bottom of the table, but that's still because they've got to catch up on games. However, though, they are still to win a game this season and they've played seven and only picked up three games, so it's starting to look a bit shaky for things if you're considering Coventry. The first game we're going to go to is Huddersfield versus Cardiff. Are we? Yeah,
sure.
Huddersfield Town won this game 1-0 after a goal in the 8th minute from Rhodes. It's important to note Cardiff have sacked their manager this week. Obviously, Huddersfield have sacked their manager as well. I want to say that was last week, though.
Last week, but I think before this game.
But yeah, it was definitely before this game. So, you know, we've seen Huddersfield, who are sat 23rd on 7 points, and Cardiff, who are, you know, well, they're 18th, with 11 points. So it's not the end of the world for them. So maybe that sacking could be seen as a little surprise. But should we start with the sackings?
Yeah, I think we should, because obviously Morrison was doing... I thought he did pretty well.
Yeah.
Obviously, you would have thought he'd have a bit of credit in the bank from last season, drag them out of that relegation battle. And he's obviously improved the team, because this team looks a lot more exciting than it did last season, bringing in a huge amount of players too. So I don't really see how it's his fault that they haven't really clicked 9 games into the season. So it was a bit of a shock for me, because of all the Championship managers, I would have thought Morrison was like not even in the top five, having the risk of getting sacked.
No, I completely agree. You know, if he was, say, in the relegation zone, it must be, obviously it's a different story. But, you know, sat 18th before this game, they were 17th. And, I don't know, maybe behind the scenes, Cardiff have managed to find themselves somebody who they see as a better manager. But then again, he probably would have already been appointed by now of recording this podcast. So, yeah, you know, it's not great. And then, if we look at Huddersfield for their sacking, do you think, for me, I think it goes two ways. Yes, it's justified because they are 23rd in the league. But then again, the guy that they first selected was the assistant for a manager that just left
without
nobody could predict that. So how do you feel about that one?
I think, obviously, he wasn't really equipped to be a manager. I don't think he was that good. I'd expected him to be sacked by this point, because this Huddersfield team probably had aspirations on playoffs, even though they did lose some big players like O'Brien. But yeah, I think the writing was on the wall, and he really needed to go, because this Huddersfield team just didn't look great.
No, exactly. If we just focus on the game quickly, then obviously a 1-0 win for Huddersfield, which is, you know, it's crucial 3 points, as for a team, as we've just said, sat 23rd. I've asked this question a lot today, saying, do you think this is a team start to turn around and whatnot? But I don't really want to ask that about Huddersfield, because personally, I don't think it's going to be their massive turnaround. I think it's a point they've picked up against a team that's just lost their manager. So I think it's crucial that they got the 3 points. But then again, I would say I'm really worried about this Huddersfield team. Do I think they'll get relegated? I want to say no, but then again, looking at the teams around them, you know, you've seen big teams such as Middlesbrough, West Brom, Hull, even Blackpool to a certain degree. I feel like these teams have got...
Yeah, you know, their fellow relegation competitors on paper, which were the newly promoted teams, and they have, like, all of them, I think, are in the top half.
Yes, they are. And obviously Reading as well, who was one of the favourites. Yeah. They sat third in the league. So
Birmingham aren't doing as bad as we thought they'd do, too. So, yeah, a bit worrying for Huddersfield at this time, to be honest with you.
Definitely. Right, I think we'll leave those two games there, and we will go to
Swansea Hull.
Yes.
Swansea Hull.
Let's go to Swansea versus Hull. Swansea won this game 3-0. We're starting to see a whole City team that started really well sort of creep down the table.
They're crumbling at the moment, Hull.
Yes, really are. And Swansea picking up the 3 points, which Russell Martin definitely needed. Do you want to just run us through your thoughts on both these teams then?
Yeah, I thought Hull might be like an outside chance for the playoffs when they won 3 of the first 4 games. I mean, they drew the first game of the season, then won back-to-back-to-back. And, yeah, in the last 4 games, they've lost all 4 to good opposition, really, if you think about it. But their defence has been really leaky They've conceded 3 against QPR, 2 against Sheffield United, 3 against Stoke, and now 3 against Swansea. And was it the third goal that was viral, that went viral, the clip of where the goalkeeper came out and touched his own player and that his own player fell over? It was just diabolical defending, and they need to sort it out quickly because I think their manager's on the verge of getting sacked too. I think that's the story going around at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And if we look at the other end of the pitch as well, Estupiñán, we've talked a lot about him. You know, obviously he picked up 7 goals in his first 6 games, but they've played 10 now, so an extra 4 games and he hasn't scored. So we were saying, you know, has he got a bit of Mitrovic in him, you know, joking around saying, could he keep it going? And he, to be honest with you, he hasn't. He's really stepped off. Obviously, he could score in the next game and prove us all wrong, get a hat-trick again. But, you know, it looks like they're starting now to struggle scoring goals and then obviously letting in silly goals at the back end of the pitch. What are your thoughts on Swansea then? You know, picking up a crucial 3 points, and it seems that Russell Martin has, you know, made some changes.
Yeah, I think Russell Martin, after that talk that was reported, they got hauled into the chief executive's office or whatever like that. I think that's kind of woken him up to like the fact that he needed to change it up, because that Swansea team were in the relegation zone at that point. And although dominating matches possession-wise, we're not really creating clear-cut chances or goals. So I think he has turned this Swansea City team around a little bit. I wouldn't expect them to be challenging for the playoffs, because they do not look like the finished article at the moment.
No, definitely not. And so if you just, this game sort of highlights some of those changes. So he's obviously a possession-based football fanatic, so he loves the possession. Swansea had 60% in this game, no real surprises. However, in past games, they've had, I would say, 60 to 70% possession and only created a few shots. This game, they had 17 shots. So obviously some changes have been made. And he stuck with his original decision of dropping Andrew Fisher and Harry Darling, two players he formerly managed at MK Dons and chased for years to sign. He's only just been able to get Darling, and he can't even put him in the starting lineup. So, you know, I feel like he's been really, I want to say tough, but that doesn't sound as good as what I want to say. You know, he's sticking to his guns now and saying, okay, you're not playing well, I need this. Yeah. You know, so if you got what I meant, then fair enough. If not, ignore it.
I think I did.
Good. But yeah, shall we move on?
Yeah, we can do.
You pick again.
I think we should probably go for Burnley-Bristol.
Yes.
Do you agree?
I do agree. Top table clash. Burnley won this game 2-1. Obviously, goals from Manuel Rodriguez and Bristol City's goal from Naki Wells. I said top table class, and that's because Burnley are currently sat 4th and Bristol City are 9th. What would you like to talk about in this game then? Because we've seen two very good teams.
Bristol City, I think will probably be challenging for playoffs at the end of the season, because although they've lost the last two matches against Norwich and Burnley, they still have been playing really well. I mean, obviously, against Burnley, they had 28% possession, but that's because Burnley are the highest possession-based team in the league, as we've seen numerous matches from Burnley, to be honest with you, because they are possession monsters. Not like Russell Martin, well, ex-Russell Martin now, tactics of just keeping the ball. They're actually creating a lot of chances, a lot of shots too. And yeah, on the balance of play, Bristol City probably shouldn't have lost. I think XG really says that it's like 1.11 to 1.14. So realistically, it probably should have been a draw. But no, I think Burnley might have just edged it, especially with shots and stuff like that.
Okay, and Burnley now sat 4th in the league, moving up the table. They're creeping up this table now. Obviously, we spoke about it a few weeks ago and we said, you know, mid-table, I think that we just need to give them time, because obviously company demands such a difference to what Dyche played. Obviously not the long ball. He's keeping it on the deck. And as you said, Burnley in this game, they had 72% possession. So really starting to control games now. They're chasing down Reading, only 1 point behind Reading and 3 points off Norwich now in the automatic. So I say keep an eye on Burnley.
Yeah, same. I think Burnley have been a bit more consistent than Reading, because Reading seemed to lose a game 4-0 and then win a game 1-0. So, yeah, I would expect Reading to fall out of the playoffs and Burnley to push a bit further up.
Definitely so. Right. Do you want to pick one final game for us to...
One final game? Scoring games in the Championship this week.
No, there's a lot of...
2-1s, 1-all, 2-0.
Couple nil-nils.
Nil-nils. We could go for Birmingham Coventry. It looks like a really exciting game.
Let's go for the West Midlands derby then.
I mean, I was joking, but yeah, we'll go for it.
We can talk about the teams, ignore the game.
Yeah, we'll obviously... I mean, let's be honest, probably shouldn't have been a nil-nil, because there was obviously 25 shots in total taken in this game. With Birmingham looking like they did slightly better than Coventry in this game. Obviously, Gustavo Hamer has been sent off for the second time this season, which just shows discipline issues with him. He obviously likes a bit of a fisticuffs or just a tackle above ankles. So, yeah, I think it's obviously a good point for Coventry. I think at this point in the season, I think they could do with any points that they can away from home. But yeah, Birmingham do look like they've got a better side than we thought they would do a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, investing heavily in the transfer window this time.
Yeah, definitely. If I talk about Coventry quickly, obviously you just said points. They need these points. It's really important that they don't, you know, let a massive gap form between them. Obviously, they've got three games in hand. However, they're not winning when they're playing now. So, as you said, these points are really crucial, and as we've said, teams, you know, at the bottom of the league, we said this about Burton a few weeks ago, the teams, they tend to get a bit more scrappy. So Coventry committed 17 fouls in this game, and as you said, Hamer getting a red card. I think I'll just leave that there for Coventry, give them a few weeks and we may be talking about them again.
Yeah, I think they've got a talented squad. Obviously, I predicted them to become like safe, but yeah, we won't talk about that too much. So they've definitely got a really good squad, and obviously they've got a few injuries at the moment, which might be another reason. But I think obviously that home, like not being at home for like the first 3 weeks of the season, I think that's obviously killed the start of the season. And Garrick's, he's not really hit the ground running this season either. Neither is O'Hare really. I think O'Hare's injured as well. Hamer's obviously looked really ill-disciplined as well. And yeah, it's just... The start of the season not really gone well for Coventry, to be honest.
No, if we move on to Birmingham then, obviously, you know, we're talking about a mid-table sort of side here. They beat West Brom 3-2 on Wednesday. Obviously, we spoke about that last game with that Hogan hat-trick. Are you surprised that we're seeing Troy Deeney and, you know, this Hogan up top, this sort of duo, you know, Lecco can't get in the team, for example?
Yeah, I think... They're obviously going for like traditional Championship strikers, really. Massive, beefy boys up front. I think Hogan's massive, isn't he? I swear he is.
Kind of.
Is he not? No. Is he not?
Well, no, he's good. We'll leave it there.
Well, Deeney's massive.
Deeney's massive.
Hogan is not massive, apparently. But I think he's a target man as well, is he?
Yeah.
Would you say?
It's fast. It's, yeah, no, yeah. I can't, to be honest, I'm the worst man to be asking about this. I just got a vision in my head of him. He is a good player this league, obviously getting that hat-trick against West Brom. Some of those goals he created himself. But yeah, he's a good player. But the reason I ask that question is just because you've seen players such as Chong, for example. Obviously, they bought him from Manchester United. And he is known as a winger. They've got Graham as well, who they signed from, I want to say, Gillingham. Two seasons ago, who again is a very good winger. So instead of, you know, playing Chong, having one down the middle, having two wingers, and
well, I think this system is going well for them at the moment, so I think they're going to stick to it. But yeah, in the future, I would like to see Chong off on that left wing, like he has done in the past and ripped it up with the Championship in the past, really, because the start of last season, he's probably player of the month, well, for me. Last August, September, until he had that massive injury. So, I'd hope they move him into his preferred position. But he has played well in that centre midfielder role. And, yeah, he's obviously quality because he has played in the Champions League before, hasn't he? So,
yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. Right, I think we'll leave that game there, and all that's left for you to do, Luke, is run us through the other scores.
Okay, so obviously 17th of September, were all of the matches played on Saturday?
Yes, they were. They were this time.
Weird thing. Usually they have them on Sky, don't you, and stuff like that, on like a Sunday, 2 o'clock. Or
Sunday,
like
even a Friday night as well.
Yeah, so Swansea 3, Hull 0, Birmingham 0, Coventry 0, Burnley 2, Bristol City 1, Huddersfield Town 1, Cardiff 0, Luton 2, Blackburn 0, Millwall 2, Blackpool 1, Norwich 1, West Brom 1, Preston 0, Sheffield United 2, QPR 0, Stoke 0, Watford 2, Sunderland 2, Wigan 0, Reading 1, and Middlesbrough 0, Rotherham 0. And it's, do you have time to touch on Paul Warne's departure from Rotherham?
We do have time for that.
It's just been announced today as we're recording, and we do not feel like this is the best thing for him.
So for people that don't know, Paul Warne has decided to leave Rotherham and head back down to League One to manage Derby County. Obviously, Paul Warne got Rotherham promoted to the Championship, and what a start they've had as well in the Championship, it must be said.
Yeah.
So for him to, you know, he's been at Rotherham a long time.
He was, like, until he got sacked, I thought he was just going to be there until he got sacked, because he seemed like a really loyal guy, because he's obviously had 3 promotions with Rotherham to the Championship and 2 relegations at the moment. It's just odd, because he's going to a mid-table League One side, because that Derby County team, they've got quality, but they haven't clicked at all, and I think their age is probably starting to show in some matches as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously the wage is going to be more, because Derby's a massive club, and you can't really say anything more or less than that, because they are massive compared to Rotherham. But you would have thought, seeing as Rotherham are in the top half of the Championship, you'd see this season out, especially because something good could happen. Their best finishing years could be on the cards, but no.
Yeah, and he's had a team that he's sort of crafted himself, you know. Because when a manager's been there that long, he's obviously had a bit of control on what players come in and what players leave, and the sort of players he wants, and he's been coaching them for years and moulded them into the players he wants. So for him now to, you know, start all over, having not been sacked, it's a personal choice. Yeah. It does seem an odd decision.
So odd. I was surprised when you sent it to me last night, because obviously I've moved into a new house now and my Wi-Fi is still not come. I was a bit shocked, because I was like, why? I mean, obviously more money, but why?
I think we'll...
He's obviously been promoted 3 times from League One before. Does he need another one? Not really.
Exactly. I think we will leave it there with the thoughts of why. I feel like that's a good place to end.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I think we'll...
No quickfire in the Championship, because he's got...
Exactly.
It's an international break.
International break. It's really annoying. It is really annoying. Obviously, I was supposed to be going to Lincoln City to watch MK Dons play at the weekend, but that has been postponed because we've got some under-21 players or something playing for Ireland, which I don't think should be...
No.
Cause us to postpone a game.
Under-21 should definitely not be cast as that. Of course, if it will...
But
we've got 2 players then, one international duty, which is one short of. Is it one short? Is it 3 international players you need in your?
It's 3 out of your starting 11. Right, so we've got 1 in hyphen marks, whatever. But yeah, so we'll leave that episode there. It's been a pleasure actually doing it in here.
Yeah, first
actually
time
in person. Yeah,
first. I think obviously the sound will sound better.
Yeah,
in here,
yeah,
because,
less crackly.
Yeah, quality mics as well, I think. I mean, they're a bit old.
Oh, no, but this is much better than what we've been working with. So.
Much better setup. And I think it'll be easier to interview some guests, so if we get, like, George Bowman on and stuff like that.
Yeah, we need to sort that out, because, you know, Mr. George Bowman said he would come on the show. So listen out in future episodes for his angelic voice. But, yeah, we'll leave it there. Any final words, Luke?
Excited for the weekend. Obviously, I'm not going to any matches, but, yeah, it's going to be good. Weekend of football, and I think the spotlight, especially this weekend, will be on League One and Two, because that's the highest quality that's playing at the moment.
Yeah.
And nobody cares about international breaks.
Right. Well, thank you for listening and tune in to us next week.